I was just saying.
I don't care about your opinion.
I'll tell you what I think.
What's that you say?
Would you just listen?
I don't think so.
Remember, ladies, one must not get one's knickers in a twist.
Please listen.
I'm trying to help you.
Listen.
I don't think so.
Excuse me.
I don't care.
Hey. Listen. Shut up and listen. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Shut Up and Listen. I'm still a little jet lagged, so I apologize for that. But I actually don't even know what to say about the guests that I have today. Like, I'm secretly fangirling. And it's really the first time I've fangirled, like, on this podcast. I'm fucking fangirling. So I have here today Elizabeth Reeser, who I have been a fan of for God knows how long. I mean, fucking Jesus Christ, like Mad Men, Grey's Anatomy, fucking Twilight, like every single thing that you do, you're just brilliant in. I think you're just probably one of the most underrated actors around.
Already, this is, I guess, so, because I've been a fan of yours for, like, since I was still at school, you know.
Wait, what kind of school?
Drama school.
Okay.
I went to Juilliard, and I, you know, because I had to learn how to
act. you, on the other hand, just knew.
Well, do you think that you learned how to act, or do you feel like Juilliard provided you an opportunity to feel like safe enough to explore?
Yeah, I think it basically helped me get out of the way, like get the bullshit out of the way and learn how to trust myself and to, I mean, it takes a long time. It took me a long time. Some people, I mean, you're someone who, I just feel like you just know what you're doing. And it took me like 20 years to sort of figure that out.
Sometimes I really feel like I know what I'm doing. And other times I don't feel like I know what I'm doing at all. Especially when I'm working with people themselves that don't know what they're doing. You know, especially if it comes to a director, a first-time director. And you know how it goes. Like, you're doing a film, especially if it's an independent film, and you don't have a lot of fucking time. And if it's a character that has some layer and has some depth, which is very rare for fucking any role that a female plays, you know, and you're looking for some help, but they don't even know how to set up a shot. And so you kind of feel like, I kind of feel like sometimes like I'm flailing in the wind, and I go back to my hotel room and I'm like, holy fuck, am I such a piece of shit in this? Am I such a piece of shit? Because I can't tell. I honestly can't tell anymore. You know, and other times when I'm working with people that are competent, that know what they're doing, and they're people that I respect, you know, whether they be actors or directors, you know, and then I'm like, yes, this feels good, because there's like a natural fucking synergy that happens.
Yeah.
Like, you know when it's working. You know when it's good.
Yeah, and you know when you trust the taste of the person who's going to end up telling the story. For me, I mean, I just feel like anyone, you could be doing like the best work of your life, but if someone is in charge that doesn't, then it doesn't matter.
Don't even get me started. Do you have an experience like that for you that you feel comfortable naming?
No, you know, I'm always like shocked that it's not horrific. Like when I'm always, cause you know, I don't know. I go down a road less and less. Like I've learned to sort of let go of, you know, you were saying, and you're sitting in your hotel room, like this is horrible. And I want to kill myself and all those things that you have, those moments. And, but I think maybe because I've done plays and you have to just let it go immediately. Like if something sucks, you have to keep doing the play. And so it really teaches you to just move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been very lucky that usually by the time I see it, I'm pleasantly surprised for the most part.
You watch yourself?
Not always. Like there's certain things that I haven't, like the Grey's Anatomy stuff that from a million years ago, like I don't need to see that, you know?
Well, I'm sure you've heard it from so many people. And let me add to that list. You were fucking incredible.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, that show was, they know what they're doing, and Shonda is such a brilliant writer, and thank you. I mean, it's just, you know, do you watch yourself?
I feel like I need a 10-year gap, at least, before I can watch myself without judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, because otherwise, I'm my biggest critic. And I'm not only judging the performance, I'm also judging why, because there was a fucking movie that I did within the last few years and kind of a piece of shit, but we all have to pay the bills. And I was like, why did they frame me that way? Mm. And why did they light me that way? Mm. What the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
yeah.
And so I really need time in between that stuff. But I did, like, there's certain things that, like, I will watch because I'm proud of the work that I did, meaning I felt myself leave completely. Mm. So I didn't even really remember the experience. Mm. So it's like, oh, what did I do? Because I don't actually really remember. And then there's enough of a, for lack of a better term, psychic separation, mm-hmm. that I'm able then to appreciate the performance because it's not me, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. That's the best. I mean, this is amazing. I'm surprised. You're. I don't know. What is that? What are you proud of? Like, if you can say that.
What am I proud of?
I mean, like
personally or professionally?
Professionally, like what is that? What are you referring to? Like, is there one?
Well, the Grey's Anatomy that I did, I was proud of.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I gotta go back and see that.
It was like last season or the season before, maybe the season before. Yeah, 2015. That I was proud of. And yeah, that's really been like the last thing pretty much in recent memory. looking forward to see what else I end up doing. I feel like my best work is ahead of me. Like, yeah. I feel like I've barely scratched the surface. So I'm excited more than anything.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I kind of feel that way too. I think I also mourned it, which has changed a lot for me, how I feel about acting. I mean, I a few years ago, I wasn't working at all. I mean, at all.
Girl, pull up a chair. Yeah. Sit on the couch. Get comfy. Let's
I mean, it's
talk.
Like, I mean, that's, it's, it, I had to sort of really mourn it and like let go of it. And I had to think about like, well, where do I want to live? Like, what would I do? And, you know, come up with like a million bizarro answers. But something about, I think I really let, part of me let it go. And it's changed my relationship now to where I really appreciate it even more. Like, I enjoy it more. I think it might just be getting older too. It's just, every time I work now, I kind of feel, I just feel excited and happy to be there. And I mean, not that I didn't in the past. It always feels like a miracle. I don't know if you have this feeling because you've been working for 100 years, but I mean, because you were a child, you know, but every time I get a job, it feels like a miracle. to me. I mean, I'm just, because I'm from Michigan, like nobody I knew was ever an actor. No, you know, it was insane to say I want to go be an actor. And so it's still, if I get that call, I can't believe it.
And is it the call for the offer? Is it the call for the audition? Is it the call for you got it?
You got it. It's definitely the offer. You got it. It's not the audition.
Yeah. Now, how are you with auditioning?
I don't think I'm good at it at all. I mean, it brings up everything, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm just a fat piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm glad because I think that's a terrible thing maybe to admit, because you just don't want people to take that shit on, but not that they will. You know, I don't mean to say, I don't normally acknowledge, you know, that shit is in my brain, because I think it's beneath me and it's beneath us all, but it does, you know, it lives there at times.
Oh yeah, for sure. I went through a period from, I mean, I didn't work really, and for me this is what I consider work, 2 to 3 months on a film. Mm-hmm. I feel like doing 2 to 3 days on a film for me is like giving a bump of cocaine to a cocaine addict. You know, where you're, wait, I'm just getting stuck. Oh, it's finished. Fuck. But yeah, I didn't really work from 2007 until 2014.
Oh my God.
7 year itch.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. And I had the same exact thought, like, what am I going to do? Ba, ba, ba. And I was in my 20s. At the time, you know, and I went through a period where, like, and I talk about this, like, I've talked about this on my podcast before, and, you know, the summer of 2009, I was ready to kill myself, and not in a overly dramatic, you know, fucking Valerie Bertinelli Lifetime movie way, like, oh my God, it's so much, but just very quiet, just staring at the wooden beams and on the ceiling and just wondering if it would hold my weight, because I would pray at the time to, like, universe, God, whatever, that I considered that was very, very, very conditional, you know, and I would be like, listen, if I'm not meant to do this, if I'm not meant to be an actor anymore, you need to let me know, because I need to go back to school. I don't know how to do anything else. I've been doing this since I was 7 and I have bills to pay. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. And then I'd get a call from my agent, and the agent would be like, we have an audition for you. And then I would read the script, and it'd be an incredible script. And then I'd go to the audition, and I'd know the director, and I'd know, like, the person next to me that was also auditioning. And go in the room, and it would be incredible, and the feedback would be great, and then I wouldn't get it. And I would be like, what kind of fucked up, like, sadistic universe God are you? You know, like, I'm asking for a sign, and then I feel I've received the sign, and then it's like dangling a carrot and then taking it away. And like we were talking about before we had started, Tag Along, chill out, love. Tag Along is sponsoring this podcast. Just kidding. But official sponsors are coming next week for the next episode. And it's actually something that I use, just FYI, all listeners. But anyway, the person that I was with at the time, her family was very metaphysical, and her dad had given me a book called The Words and Wisdom of Florence Scovel Shinn, who was a metaphysical author from the 1920s. And she was very spiritual, and she talked about how your word is your wand, and how you're allowed to ask for what you want. And I had had the mindset my whole entire life, you're not allowed to ask for what you want. You need to be a good girl. You need to, like, receive whatever is coming to you. And I would have, like, that inside voice in my head that, like, I thought really was the universe being like, I'm doing this to teach you a lesson, because you need to learn a lesson in humility. Like, ba, 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 ba. And after I got that book, it opened up my eyes and my mind, and therein really kind of like started the journey, where I'd been attached to a movie for 4 years. Mm. Like money kept on going in and then not being there, going in, not being there. And then the director had called me and was like, the money just fell out of escrow again. And I was like, sign me on as a producer. And he was like, I was like, no, sign me on as a producer and I will have the money raised in 3 months. He was like, I don't know. I was like, sign me on as a fucking producer. And he was like, okay. And within 3 months, we were shooting down in Waxahachie, Texas.
I'm not surprised at all. I'm just not, I mean.
Yeah, and that happened and all was well. And thought it was going to do well, and it didn't. The lead of that movie was a fucking asshole, fuckhead, who drank every day.
Oh, no.
No, not oh, no, like pity.
No,
like,
oh, no, pity for you.
Like, fuck me.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, that's part of what producing looks like, right? Where, like, you're dealing with fuckheads that are pretentious, especially the ones that have not earned the right to be pretentious in any way, shape, or form. They're unknowns. They haven't earned the right to be difficult. Not that anybody really should ever be difficult, but I also think that for women that looks very different than for men. Yeah, and the movie bombed. It sucked. It was really, really bad. It was so bad. It was so, so bad. But I learned a lot, you know, which is priceless.
You and know? Now are you like wanting, are you producing more? Are you wanting to produce? Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love more than anything.
Yeah. I bet. I bet you get shit done.
I'm just starting to now. I had, like, you guys know, sometimes I need to take a second to collect my thoughts. You know, I really do believe, for me, that my life has been a series of experiences and moments and lessons, and everybody's life has, to one degree or another. But every single thing that I thought about my life when I was in my 20s and where I thought I'd be, where I wanted to be, what I wanted to be doing, is nowhere near A, the reality of what my life is today, nor what I desire for my life today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because my dreams and goals have grown as I have grown. So everything is happening in perfect timing, and I needed to grow personally, and I needed to get comfortable with my power personally before I could then expand professionally, you know?
Absolutely.
So what is it for you? What was your experience of A, not working? What did you do? What were your thoughts as you were going to bed at night? What was the catalyst for change?
I mean, I was pretty...
And when was this?
This was, I guess, in the last maybe 2 years ago and 3 years ago, there was like a long 1 year, almost a 1 year stretch. And then then I got a play, thank God. And then there was like a 10 month stretch and I did a play, which sort of, it's just nothing's harder in terms of for acting. It's just, I think doing plays are so hard, but so good, to do. But for me, I was really like a baby about it. For a long time.
What does that look like?
Like just, you know, I think I was, you know, I start to get bitter, you know, and, like, it's not fair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it was that kind of, it was being a baby in a way. Like I didn't, I was just pissed, you know, and it took me a while. I also was like bumping up against mortality. I think women in our work have to contend with mortality, you know, very early on in life. Like we start, I've found for me, mourning things that in any other line of work you wouldn't start having to mourn until maybe your 60s.
Mm.
Because, you know, roles, things like, it just is hard as you get older as a woman in this business. It's just purely, you know, numbers. And I think it forced me to get really honest with myself and humble and, I don't know. It was a deep, you know, contending with these, you know, why do I feel like I'm 100 years old? You know what I mean? Like seeing myself as an old person because I felt like, oh, I can't, I'm not going to work because I'm a certain age and I look a certain way, you know?
Do you feel that now?
Well, now it's funnily enough, I don't.
And what changed?
It was like, I realized I sort of let go of the bitterness that I had. And
tag along.
Aww.
Don't be a shit.
And I took more personal responsibility for my life and my own happiness. And I started writing. And yeah. And everybody for years had been telling me to write. And I was like, fuck you. I don't want to write. I just want to act. I don't want to write. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I just want to act. And I resented people telling me to write. I resented everything about, you know, the situation. And then I started to write and like a whole world opened up. Sounds so corny, but a whole world opened up inside me and it made me happy. It made me feel good. And that sort of changed my whole, I think that was and meditating. Actually, meditating is the most profound thing that for me did the, has done everything. I mean, more so than therapy, more so than, I mean, just it's everything.
When did you start meditating?
Probably about 5 years ago, I think.
Okay.
I started doing TM.
I was just going to ask if you did TM.
Yeah. Do you do TM?
I don't, but I've had, I've had other people mention it to me and suggest it to me. And I'd read David Lynch's book.
Oh yeah.
Catch a Big Fish. Which, you know, and he's not obviously, because some people might not know, he's part of the TM movement. And TM, for those of you that don't know, is Transcendental Meditation, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, someone from his foundation, the David Lynch, you know, they taught me how to meditate. And, which, by the way, it's just this, it's so simple. I used to think I could never meditate. Yeah. I can't meditate. You know, you think it's this thing, but it's actually the most simple, straightforward process. At least that's how I was taught. And it's the kind of thing where it's really subtle, the changes that take place. And then, you know, other people start noticing the changes, and it's just profound. And it's like, I think it was really the most transformative thing for me.
And so you said, so like, I think you're actually the first person that I've talked with. Maybe Shawnee Nicholas talked about this when she was on, but really like the first person that's actually talked about meditation on here. And so you started 5 years ago, and then you had your 10, like starting 2 years ago, 10 months, no work, then a play, mm-hmm. then ba, 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 ba. And how did meditation help you through that? Like, what is your meditation practice? Like, what does it look like for you?
I do it. You're supposed to do it twice a day for 20 minutes. I do it once a day for once a day for twice a minute. I do it once a day for 20 minutes. And if I'm really like in the shit house, I get up and do it twice a day because it's saved my life. Like when I'm doing a play and I'm about to open and I can't sleep and I'm having a panic attack. But yeah, I think it's been this sort of underground part of my like unconscious life that has slowly changed. It's like I even the weirdest thing about it, like this is one of the examples that I give because it's profound to me because I'm such an eater, is that I eat less now, and I think that that's from meditating. It's the weirdest.
But eat your feelings.
Like yeah, because I used to. I think I was like, I know I was eating my feelings. I don't need to be coy about this. Yeah. I was like, you know, I used to like go and buy, you know, when I lived in New York, I was buying like bags of just shit and just pounding it and, you know, and then feeling terrible and it just doesn't work, or like cookies, you know, or like you're in Vancouver and you're by yourself and.
Sutton Place Hotel.
Yeah, you're at this Slutton and you've got no one and it's like that, or go drink yourself into a stupor. And so I'd go buy some cookies or whatever. And I just don't do that now. And it's not a conscious like, oh, I'm on a diet. I know it's the meditating.
No, I get that completely. I will say this. I'm like, my mind is going so fast right now, because I'm so excited to be able to talk about this. Well, it's learning how to deal with the uncomfortable feelings and being able to work through them and being able to sit with them and getting to see that, you know, you are not your thoughts and you are not your feelings, you know, and it's almost like a triad, you know, where like, I think of like emotion as like energy in motion. You know, and where is it going to go and what is it going to do? And in those moments of feeling so clenched and so tight, you're not responding to something, you're reacting. Like you are acting again. You are acting from a place that you've acted before, you know? So like, it's interesting to me that something so quote unquote small, is actually so big, because it's your taking away the trying to find the correct word. You are taking away the distraction or the thing that's actually going to keep you from growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love a fucking good cookie, and I'm not saying,
yeah,
like don't eat cookies and like whatevs, and like sometimes like you have to have your fucking feelings, you know?
Oh yeah.
But like the response to the feelings is very, very different.
Yeah. And even now, I mean, I'll definitely have moments where that is my impulse, is to go and throw down some on some ice cream or whatever. But it doesn't work.
Yes.
It never worked. But I wasn't aware that it wasn't working. It's much quicker now where I'm like, it's the same with booze. And I love to, like I was just saying to you before we started talking, I had a lot to drink this weekend. But even that, I end up, it sounds like this, I'm having no fun, no cookies and no booze, but I'm doing it. It ends up being less because it's like more, you're more aware of like what's pleasurable, you know, pleasure as opposed to like trying to stop something or fill something. I'm able to like go like, okay, now this doesn't feel good, so I'm going to stop.
What brings you pleasure?
Oh my God. It's funny because this Shut Up and Listen obviously is the title of your podcast, and I just, when you said that, I thought listening, and I think it's like the most sort of, it's obviously what we do for our work, is it's just like that's the whole thing, right, is the listening. But I find that to be really intoxicating and scary, and I think listening is maybe like the most vulnerable you can be, actually, if you're really doing it. So I find that really, anyway, so, but pleasure. So listening, I guess, to someone or something that is,
I just
saw that. I just saw that you were about to have a moment that was so vulnerable and so open. And then you were like, nope.
No, no.
Anyway.
Hell no. No. I forget what I was going to even say. But yeah, even just talking about it feels like, what am I saying? Why am I saying this out loud? But I do find that, you know, listening is scary. Like, if you really listen, you don't get to decide. You're actually taking something in.
And then there's also listening to self.
Well, and that's a whole, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what we're just talking about. I mean, it's like actually tuning in.
Yeah. It's a... I think that's so interesting that you find listening. What do you listen to? Who do you listen to?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, you got to be careful.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm even like with music, and I love music, but the older I've got, I actually listen to less music, and it sounds like my life sucks. No booze, no cookies, no music. No, all these things I love, but I find music can be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, and in a great way too. Yeah. It can be so joyful, but it can be sad. Like, people that listen to sad music all the time, I can't do it. I just find it too upsetting. But, you know, listening to, I don't know, people that are interesting, or I don't know.
Books.
I listen to books.
Do you really?
By reading. By I guess I'm saying reading is also listening. I mean, it's the same kind of idea for me. It's like taking something in. But I find that to be the most interesting part about acting, I think. But this is, I sound like, do I sound pretentious?
No, you don't. See,
I mean,
no,
this
you
is
don't.
Where, you know, your brain goes like, what the fuck am I talking about? But you know, we're talking, so.
Yeah, we're talking and we're listening.
Yeah.
You know, here's the deal at the end of the day, and this is just for me. No one knows anything, and everyone knows everything, right? And just like with stories, and I say this again and again and again and again, I'm like wondering now how many people are actually going to say this with me when they're listening. People don't go to the movies to see movie stars. They go to the movies to see themselves, you know, because they might not identify, you know, with like a fucking teenage fucking vampire, you know, like, as far as I know, vampires don't exist, real life ones. I mean, maybe energetically, yeah. You know, but they identify with the feeling of loss. They identify with the feeling of longing. They identify with the feeling of joy. They identify with the feeling of terror. You know, it's the language of the heart. It's what we get to do, you know? It makes me wonder, like, for you and your experience as an actor, how often are you received by the people you're working with and your fellow actors in terms of them getting to listen?
You mean, like, how much do I feel like they're listening?
Yeah, so, like, let's say we're in a scene. We're doing it. Like,
I wish we were in a scene.
Dude, well, like, let's fucking write something together. Let's be in a scene. Like, for reals.
Yeah.
Like doing a scene, cause, and let's say like you're giving me something, but I'm completely blocked and I'm not receiving it.
It's awful.
It's the worst.
It's awful. Yeah.
You know,
so awful.
But what, how, I'm like, what's the ratio, but how often do you find that to be the case, especially now? Because I feel like people in general, more and more, we're connected in one way, like you and I met through social media, through Twitter, where I find all of the brilliant people. But even though we're connected in that way, there is definitely a lack of human to human connection,
you know? and I wonder how that translates to work.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why when you are rolling or you're on stage or whatever you're doing, when it, and you have to focus and when it does happen, it is electric, whether it's good or not, I don't know. But I mean, like, there's an actor I'm working with right now, Sam Jaeger, and he listens, you know? So it's actually electric. When two people are listening, it feels reckless almost, you know, in the best way. It's so exciting. So when that's not happening, it can be incredibly frustrating. It can also be what is happening maybe in the scene and, you know, and on some meta level, I don't know. But it's not as fun. But it just takes so much courage, I think, to listen. I just think it just takes all the courage in the world. So I don't know. I think it's special when you get to have that.
That's so interesting to me. It's so fucking interesting. That you think that listening is creative. I'm not drunk, people, I promise. jet lag. Because I guess, because you can also listen without saying a fucking word.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is that brings me fucking pleasure. That brings me such fucking pleasure. Just getting to sit and be and receive in the silence. So I love the silence. I love the uncomfortability of the silence even.
Well, so you have a lot of courage. I mean,
well, our biggest fear is being received and being seen, and our biggest desire is to be received and seen, right? And so it's, I've already gone through hell. I've already died,
right?
Like, I've already died. There's nothing anyone can do to me. I've been dead,
mm-hmm.
You know? So now there's really nothing to lose. Mm. And so there is a sense of fearlessness and freedom where the look isn't a confrontation. It's not a, you're going to step, which is what I used to do. Like teenage me, mm-hmm. Teenage angsty me. My God, I put Annie Hathaway through hell. And
you
Mandy
did?
Moore. I did. Because I was like fucking like 16, 17, thought like, I like was like fucking like smoking Camel filters and like that.
Yeah.
I was like such a badass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I bet you were terrifying.
Yeah, and I just, I would put people through tests to just be like, are you able to match me in my power? Mm. Are you able to meet me? Are you able to really, truly fucking receive me and all that I am?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And also I was like fucking 17 and like fucking lesbian and, you know, like indie darling and was like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
But
of course, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world.
Because like really underneath that was an incredible amount of like vulnerability and an incredible amount of fear, like terror that, oh my God, who the fuck am I doing this with these people? And I really got to kind of act tough and keep myself safe, like really keep myself safe. And I feel like we pick up these tools along the way to help us survive, you know, in general. And then those tools that helped us are no longer serving us because we've outgrown them. But it's terrifying to let them go, because then who am I without this? Who am I without the fronting? Who am I without the bravado? Who am I without the ba 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 and like cookies, boot, like insert everything, right? like when you take everything away, and I wrote about this like kind of recently, where like, who am I, like alone, just completely alone, almost as though I didn't exist. Who am I without the identity? Just me. I realized that I didn't really need anything. Like, I didn't. I didn't need a single fucking thing. So there, like, there then gets to be, I feel like, the opportunity when you've done the work and you've called out your own bullshit and you're willing to grow. Like, there are some people that I choose not to connect with because I'm like, nope, 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 nope. And I'm very, very clear with my energetic boundaries now. Like, I Durga. But for some others, it's that there's almost like a maternal, I'm willing to hold space enough for both of us. And that feeling of, you might feel unsafe in this second, and I'm going to let you have your experience, but I'm not going to shut down because your uncomfortability is making me uncomfortable. Because I'm comfortable enough in self that I can do that until you feel okay. And if you don't, that's fine too.
That's so kind.
I mean, that's just, you know, whatevs.
Yeah, but it's kind. It is. It's sweet. I mean, it's very generous.
I don't do that with everybody.
No, you can't. I mean, there's...
But I do that...
Be careful.
Well, it's with the people that I feel intuitively have the willingness to grow. They're just scared. Right. Because I identify with that. I recognize that. I understand that. I recognize the terror in just letting go enough to just be and be seen, you know, because I'm going to die. I'm going to fucking die. Terrifying. And it's those that like I see are willing, but unsure and scared, and are also doing the work, you know, like the willingness is enough, you know, cause so you've already met.
Yeah.
In part, but for those individuals that are so lost within their own story, I can see past the story into the being, if that makes sense, and have love and compassion for them. And like, but I'm not going to be working with your bullshit today. I'm not, because it's not my job to fix you. It's not my job to like do the work for you. And I've already been there and done that. I'm not going to do it. I'm busy. I've got films to direct and produce, you know?
No, well, you can't do it for anyone anyway. I mean,
I spent a lot of time trying.
Yeah, no, I mean, me too. It's just, it's good that you are able to set boundaries. I mean, it's hard. I think that's hard.
I wasn't able to. And then I got to a place and a point where I really faced my greatest terrors of my life. And, you know, to a certain degree, like I did die. Like I had like a death and a rebirth, you know, and I'd been really suicidal, like, again in, like, 2014. I won't go into, like, the whole entire story now because, like, I'm sure you guys that are listening have heard it way too many times. But, like, from 2014 to now, to 2017, you know, such an incredible experience and process of transformation where... I believe for me that I'm either growing or dying. That's it. I'm either growing or dying. Mm-hmm. There's no static. You know, there's no stasis. There's no staying the same. It's impossible. Scientifically, it's impossible. And I was terrified of setting boundaries. was terrified of setting boundaries. I was terrified of utilizing my voice. I was terrified of having other people be angry with me. And I was continually saying yes to things that I didn't desire to say yes to, because I was told, especially professionally, that that's how this works. Right. And there's that thing, especially, I don't know if you've ever gotten this from an agent, where it's like, they haven't seen you in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, like they want what's hot and they haven't seen you in a while. So like it's good people, like ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, but it's for something that's like for a 50-year-old that weighs 175 pounds. And I'm like, seriously, mm-hmm. not oh, even joking.
Oh, no, I go in for like fat moms and stuff. You know, I mean, I get it.
And I literally brought this up today. I had an executive meeting at like one of like the major networks, and I brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, this business to like a certain degree is so fucking laughable.
Yeah.
And so ridiculous. And I just, when I was able to reclaim self and reclaim power of self and remember who I was. What my agents thought didn't matter. Like what, like was going on, like in terms of what was hot and blah, 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 needing to be here and this and do this red carpet and like wear this thing, didn't fucking matter anymore. And that I think is like one of the biggest secrets that they don't tell you in this industry or really anywhere. But like, I know what I'm meant to do with my life. Like, I know what I'm meant to do. Like, without a shadow of a doubt, like, it was my first fucking sentence. Like, my first sentence out of my mouth, watching Madonna dress you up in my love tour, 1984. I said, I do that. I do that. And I'd come from foster care. Like, put into, like, a foster home that then became my adoptive home, and I didn't speak for over a year. I just pointed. Hmm. So, like, the first thing I said was, like, I do that. That was it. Not I want to, mm-hmm. not maybe one day, but I do that. I am that. Two most creative words in the world. I am. I am tired. I am happy. I am sad. I am rich. I am poor. I am abundant. Whatever it is, you know. So.
Oh, my God. I love that so much. That's, I mean, I was big, I'm still am Madonna fan and just admired her. And
dude,
was so
sex book
her.
Right there.
Yeah, I noticed that one. I'm like, this is going to go well. That's amazing.
Well, because you're from Michigan.
Yeah, and where I grew up was very near Rochester, which is where she grew up. And, you know, I feel like she doesn't get enough credit for, I don't know, just even you seeing her and saying that she made me think like things were possible, even though I don't do anything that she does, but she definitely created a world of possibility.
Because I would disagree with you on that statement.
What, I don't do what she does? I mean, I want to do what she does. I would kill to dance around in some fucking hot pants and like whatever she's, I mean, that would be the ultimate dream.
Well, you can. You can do. That's the thing, is that you are free to do that if you desire.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. And there's, you know, I mean, I may be 42, but there's always a possibility for that.
Dude, she's fucking 60.
I know. And she's killing
it. Is she
it.
60?
Maybe. If she's not, she's got to be late 50s, right?
Late 50s.
Yeah.
Late fucking 50s. And but also here's the deal, right? Where it's. Wearing the hot pants and ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, like, that's just the outer. Because, like, what she really does and continues to do is be unapologetic, not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Be completely authentic. And I'm like just waiting. Like, don't at me about Madonna, okay? We can like agree to disagree.
Yeah, we're not going to go down that road.
We're not going to go down that road, especially like, especially for you youngins that are listening that are 18 to 25. You know, I fucking remember watching Madonna, the Blonde Ambition Tour. It was on HBO 1992.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. And up she comes in that fucking pantsuit with that bifocal, like,
oh, yeah.
And it was a striped suit. And then she had the...
Express yourself.
Yeah. It was like the fucking opening number with like the blonde hair platinum with like the ringed curls. Hot as fuck.
I know. I used to have this argument with so many boyfriends about Madonna. Of course they were like, she's a fucking nothing. You know, like it drove me crazy, like that they didn't take her seriously because they didn't get that actually in the history of, at least that I'm aware of, I mean, just historically how important she is for me, for women, even women that don't like her. It's she's done something. She changed the world.
Yeah, she's, you know what? I'll tell you what. Before I was able to connect with my own sexuality and sensuality and pleasure, like really, truly, which is like very, very recent. I would walk down the streets of New York and I would listen to Madonna and I would literally feel a surge from my vagina because that's where my power is. Like some people, the power is from the solar plexus, the heart, whatever. Mine is from my fucking vagina. Like I know that. like my thighs have now like gotten big enough to like be like a fucking like. I was thinking tree stump, and then I almost said the T word, which I don't want to utter.
The T word.
You have tree. And then you have stump. And then if you take out...
Ugh.
Exactly.
Ugh.
We're playing word games here on Shut Up and Listen today. But no, like... She made it okay to be sexual. And she made it okay to... be in one's pleasure and unapologetic about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why people hated her. And continue to hate her.
Yeah, I know.
It's really interesting.
I mean, it's not surprising. Considering the people that the states that are the most conservative have the highest viewerships of pornography.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Right? Yeah, of course it makes sense. And I think that I was just talking about this the other night. You know, I think that the biggest quote unquote sin, and like I use sin in terms of error of thinking, is that pleasure is bad, or that pleasure has to be conditional, or that there are only certain ways with which you're allowed to experience pleasure. Because I'll tell you what. I tag along, like, to experience real, true pleasure, like, in body and connection with another or even with self, to me is really to, like, experience connection with the universe, God, goddess, whatever you want to call it, you know? and God forbid people actually know that. Like, God forbid that that was freely allowed. Our world would, A, be so different, you know? And it's like a robbery of self. I feel that, like, if you rob somebody of their pleasure, you rob somebody of their innate self.
Well, I think just being girls, I mean, growing up, I just think... pleasure was not on the table. I mean, that's like a shameful idea. I mean, I went to Catholic school. I know you were
Yeah. Yeah. Roman Catholic, Italian.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I went to, but I wasn't even Catholic. I just went to Catholic school, but it was just being in Michigan and just in that time. I don't know what it's like now for little girls, but it was definitely not, we're not centered around our pleasure. I don't, in the way that I imagine men get to be, you know, that it just looks so nice. As they should. I mean, I feel like I have to really like wrap my brain around that, like bring my brain back around to my own, pleasure, you know, like to make that central as opposed to someone else's.
Yeah. No, abso-fucking-lutely. I'll tell you what. Probably the greatest thing that was ever told to me was told to me this past October. And it was, you know, like, I'm like, this is what you get on Shut Up and Listen, guys. Just pure authenticity all the fucking time. So I'm just taking a second because I'm like, does this feel intuitively correct to like go into and speak of? And yeah. So I, you know, had an experience when I was young, like a few, where I where my pleasure was taken from me. And as a result, you know, PTSD followed. And it was really debilitating in one way or another, like throughout my life, but really in the sexual department where I couldn't come at all. And I was really detached from sex. And it was like sex and love were never connected at all. And it got to the point where my body started waking up and I would then like either feel completely numb throughout my body, like pins and needles, or my body would shake, or it would feel like I was getting raped with glass. It was horrible. And like, obviously, like, depression comes with that and blah, 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 and all this shit. I'm not blah, blah, blahing depression. Just, like, whatevs. I want to get to the point. So, I'd done, like, a number of things for a number of years, like, in terms of meditation, prayer, therapy, blah, 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 blah. And then I had an experience with the ayahuasca in February of 2015 that was very helpful and opened up some stuff, but I was still having issues. And so this past October, I had an experience with a therapist with MDMA.
With a therapist?
Yeah.
A sex therapist?
A therapist that like worked with a variety of patients that have PTSD.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And it completely changed my life.
I want to do this. This is so like, amazing.
We'll talk off air. Completely changed my life in every single way, shape, and form. Because it felt like for the first time I was given my body back. It was like the Horcrux, you know, had been destroyed and I was able to get my soul back. Like re-pieced together. And this man who I will forever be grateful to said to me, he was like, Heather, do you want to know the greatest secret of the universe? And mind you, this is like backstory that's important. Well, I'll tell you after, but like whatevs. But he said, do you want to know the like biggest secret, the universe? And I said, yeah. And he was like, the truth always feels good. Mm. The truth always feels good. And I'd been so disconnected from my pleasure because I'd been told and taught that pleasure is wrong. Your pleasure is wrong. That my beingness was to be was to service other people's pleasure in whatever way, shape, and form that was. And so there was no sense of self. There was no autonomy. It really was. And I feel too, and again, like, I know I fucking bring it up all the time, guys, but like, it really is so fucking important. You know, so yeah, so I had no sense of self. I had no sense of pleasure. What is it that actually feels good to me? You know, and with that, where you're doing the dance of, ooh, this feels really pleasurable, but then on the other side of that is terror that if I experience this pleasure, I might die. Mm-hmm. I might die, literally. And so when he said, like, the truth always feels good, and I'd had the experience of feeling actually good and feeling such pleasure in my body and allowing things to come up that, like, had previously, like, I had not thought about, and to grieve the lifelong experience that I had had of feeling such shame, and it's still something that I'm, like, working through. But that, like, major, major boulder was lifted. Mm-hmm. That, and it's not like what's true, like universally true, but like what is true for me? What is it that feels good for me? And I think that that is such a powerful tool. Like, the truth always feels good. You know, and that my, that I am not responsible for how other individuals feel, you know, and that what's highest, like the highest good for me is going to be the highest good for you. Because if it really truly, and I don't mean like, I'm going to do like some fucking blow off like a fucking hooker's tits right now. You know, like that feels real fucking good. You know, but do I desire to say yes or no to this? What feels good? What is it that I desire? What is it that really brings me pleasure? You know, and if you have historically been like, well, they're going to be mad if I say no. They're going to be mad if I just go along and do it and grin and bear it. And like, you know, like be humble, be a good girl. Like, who are you to, like get over yourself, you know? Like, no, Does it feel good? Like, does it feel good? And there's fucking power in that. And that, like, to me, like, Madonna has always been, she's been teaching it her whole entire fucking life. I think to a certain degree without even really knowing it, you know, and now that as she's gotten older and she's had her own experience and journey, getting to see it in a bigger way, because there's, when you were preaching the truth, and people aren't able to receive it because they're so blocked and terrified, it can feel really fucking lonely, you know, but it didn't stop her from being truthful and honest, you know, because she's like, this feels good for me. And I'm not going to let anybody take away that pleasure. I'm not going to let anyone take my pleasure away from me. It is mine. And it's my power and I fucking own it fully. And that is terrifying to a lot of fucking people, especially if, like, that person that says that has a fucking vagina. Because vaginas are the most powerful force in the world. It's my feeling.
I'm not going to dispute that. I mean, I agree. I love hearing you talk about it. I think it's really, I mean, it's stuff that I think about a lot. And as the older you get, you become, and I've gotten into fights with people who try to talk to me about what Madonna should and shouldn't be wearing at a certain age. And I just, it enrages me. It's this idea that she
has, first of all, that you should have any say in what she wears is just ridiculous. But also that it's about what you're talking about. I mean, like, she's not allowed to be sexual at a certain point. It's like, it's not serving you anymore for her to be wearing what she's wearing. So she's got to stop because you're uncomfortable. You don't think she's, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, well, no, because that goes back to like the bigger fucking point that she is not here for you.
Yeah.
She is not here for anyone but self. And if you choose to go to her concert, if you choose to buy her album, if like she's here, she's owning her fucking space. And whether you desire to be at the fucking party and the celebration and the holiday, how many Madonna songs can I put into the sentence? You know, like that's, again, it's choice.
Yeah. It's like, why does it bother you that she's wearing whatever she's wearing? What is that about? I just think that's a really, it's something that needs to be investigated. And I mean, I have those impulses from, you know, we all have those, you know, we're all so critical and harsh. I feel like, not we all, I'm saying I'm capable of, not as relates to Madonna, but just in general, you know, just being, just the shit you grow up with, the voices in your head, and then, you know, but it's good to question it, I think.
Like what?
No, just having a fucking opinion about everything all the time that's just not necessary, you know, like judging things or people or, like the people having a problem with her being dressed a certain way. I'm sure I've had the same impulse, and it's like, who cares? I don't know. I think the older I get, the more I realize, you know, you start to dismantle, hopefully,
yeah,
as much as possible, these ridiculous ways of moving through the world or seeing the world.
Well, systemic fucking sexism,
right? And it's even for you know, it's this embedded, these ideas that are embedded,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you're saying, being good and being, you know, the good girl and all of that stuff, which is, I do want to be a good girl, I want to be a good person, but I think, you know, you have to look after yourself. I mean, it's exactly what you're saying, of just the primary thing. Otherwise, you really can't be anything to anyone.
Yeah, and also that idea of like good is relative, right?
Well, yeah, and good is it's just kind of a dumb word, I think, as relates to this. I mean, I think kind is important. You know, that's a good way of
loving,
but it's not always nice.
No, absolutely. I have this, I am so grateful that I get to be in a relationship with a partner that where our love languages are the same. And I've never, until this relationship, if I got upset about something or I felt, I wouldn't say anything. So just taught not to say anything. Just shh. Nope. It's fine. Get over it. Work through it. It's fine. Don't bring it up. And that goes to the deeper thing of stopping emotional, stopping dramatic. It's not a big deal. But that's also, you know, gaslighting. You know, when you are told to minimize your feelings, in order, because somebody else's feelings are more important and take priority. And that means that you yourself are not as important and take less priority. And if you are not a fucking equal priority in the relationship, you're fucked. And priority to self. And so now, like, the minute that I have a feeling, and it always comes from, I feel, never you did. But I feel I may have misheard, but this is what I heard. Mm. Or this is how that hurt this within me.
Mm.
And getting to communicate in that way, which is honest and loving, and there's integrity in that. There's integrity in that kind of honesty, and the willingness to grow, and the willingness then on the opposite, you know, in moments where I've hurt her feelings, in the moments where I have not been considerate, not intentionally, not in a malicious way of I'm gonna fuck her over, but just I was in a moment of selfishness. I was not considering my partner. I had a moment of forgetting. And she loved me enough and loves us enough and herself enough that she was able to bring it. And then we talked about like getting to listen and getting to like receive, getting to receive it. And then A, not make it all about me and be like, oh my God, I'm such a big piece of shit. And whoa. But being able to receive it. And I'm so thankful. Like, I really appreciate getting to know this and then getting to be more cognizant. I haven't really, I've never misstepped in that way again because I was able to receive what it was that she was saying. I was able to receive the feeling behind it. And speaking your truth, you know, is powerful. You know, I think living your truth is the most powerful. And Madonna does that on a daily basis. And I think she's a reminder. I think women like that are a reminder to the sacred feminine. You know, are a reminder to women. And it can be a dangerous thing. So I feel like religion has been used as a weapon to curtail that and to keep it in line. So individuals don't stray too far. You can feel good, but not too good. You can wholesome, holy. And no, you're not. You're so fragmented. It's the opposite of holy, because holy is whole integration of self. You know, like even that word has been bastardized. I mean, for fuck's sakes, like the Pope condemned Madonna. The Vatican condemned Madonna. It doesn't get any better than that. If I can get condemned by the Vatican, I know I'm doing something right.
I mean, that's very on brand for Madonna. I feel like getting condemned by the Pope, it's really everything you know.
Yeah,
with everything
course.
She'd want, I would
of
think.
Of course.
It's, yeah. I from a very early age just didn't subscribe to that stuff. I just didn't. I mean, I'm still trapped in those ideas a lot of the time, I think.
What's the biggest idea?
Like you're saying, like the things you're talking about, the fear of saying, I want this.
What do you want?
Oh, I want a lot of things.
Or, you know what? No, not want, because the act of wanting pushes it away. What is it that you desire to claim but are scared to?
I mean, there's, I think when, you know, all this talk about pleasure, I think that's, it's a really scary thing to claim sometimes. Just even, God, even just having things, you know, my way, even though I'm not saying I'm like, I don't get my way, because I can be very dominant. So it's, but there's shame, there's guilt, there's so much shit you have to like fucking unravel just to, for me, I just have, still have like little pussy bullshit Catholic, you know, Midwestern, you know, like nice and it's like
fuck
you're
nice.
About, yeah, fuck nice. And the boundaries thing, like I, you know, I have a hard time with that sometimes. I do. It's so lame. But, you know, you get better at it.
Yeah. What has been an experience? Do you have any memories of actually really utilizing your boundaries, like personally or professionally, where you're just like, nope, sorry, nope?
Yeah, I do. And it was so good for me. It was a work situation. It's funny how work can be a place where I feel way more clear and way stronger about expressing things that I, you know, in my personal life, I think I can be more, and I'm terrified. I mean, I'm not, it's all scary to me, but you know, there've been work situations where I felt people crossed boundaries with me, and I only now in the last few years have I been able to say, that is a boundary that you can't cross that boundary. Otherwise I'm not going to do this. I'm going to leave. And the process of doing that was made me like 1,000 times stronger. Like just one time standing up for myself was, you know, exponential growth.
Are you able to talk about that in a general way in terms of what happened?
Yeah, in a general way. Well, there were two things. There were two different experiences. One was on a job, an acting job, where I was really disrespected, you know?
And what does that look like?
Well, a few things. I mean, I've been, you know, hit at work. I've had some really sick, weird things go down. And just, you know, not listened to. There've been, you know, like when someone crosses a boundary and you say you crossed a boundary and they say you're crazy.
Yes, the most story of my life.
You're overreacting.
Yeah.
Or you're irrational, I think is one of the great, like, yeah. if you want to see something go down, just tell me I'm being irrational. So there was a combination of a lot of things going down, and eventually I just realized that I couldn't do it, and I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I had a conversation with the director, and you know, it ended up being really positive, because he got it eventually, but it was a series of conversations. And, but you know, like someone saying you're irrational. I mean, I just remember saying to this person, like, how many men have you said that to? How many men have you told, or have you said, you're being irrational? I just never see that. I never see that dynamic. I only see it with women. And I'm not trying to be like women this and men that, but it is something I've noticed.
Well, that's calling a thing, honey. That's not like, I mean, that is calling a thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I mean, that's the reality. So it's not like women this, that's the fucking reality. And that is your fucking experience. And that is not something to apologize for or try to justify or like fucking whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Well, people get really angry. Like, it's like, you know, they get angry. I mean, I mean, you've been on a million sets, so, you know, I mean, it can get really weird.
Yeah, no shit.
And I'm always scared because I want to work. I want to be able to have a career. And, you know, I've had gnarly things when I was younger where, you know, people saying, are you on your period? And, you know, do you want to go watch dailies at 4 a.m? And, you know, shit like that. And
yeah. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I've never had that experience. I feel like my experience was unique in this way. Not getting a role that I had been attached to for 3 years because the producers that eventually came on said I wasn't fuckable. And I was 19. you know, so I haven't had the experience in that sense of like, come to my fucking trailer, like watch fucking dailies or like whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I've had like my own variation of piggedness,
yeah,
in this industry in one way or another. But I haven't had it in the way that, you know, you are describing.
Yeah, that's, I mean, look, it's all, yeah, I think it's probably because you were probably way more self-possessed. I think is the more self-possessed I got, the less that kind of shit happened. I mean, other shit happens, you know, but I think you just don't come across as like a dumb piece of ass, you know? So congrats.
Well, I don't think that you come across as a dumb piece of ass either. I just think that
No, but when I was younger, I mean, maybe not that I came across as a dumb piece of ass, but I was not self-possessed.
I don't, you know, I receive that and I receive that cautiously. No, I receive that, with a grain of salt, in this sense. I know the scumbag fucking producers because I would see them bring fucking hot extras into their fucking trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I fucking know them, and I'm like, you're fucking disgusting. And I have had experiences, like, two or three where I was very young and having much older producers, like, whatever, be inappropriate. But because I was so young, I didn't recognize it as being inappropriate. It made me feel uncomfortable, but I thought it was the norm,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I have had the experience where I had this motherfucker, this fuck, this fucking four-eyed fuck. And this is, that's just because people with glasses are awesome. I've worn glasses. So like whatevs, but I just saw his face and I saw him wearing glasses and you know, I had signed on to do something and I think I like just fucking told the story recently, but like there must be a reason I'm telling it again. I'd signed on to do this fucking show. It's completely like, yeah, this is great. Layers character, blah, 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 blah. You know, get there for like the actual series and the character is completely different. Completely, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm having to like pinch my leg every day, choking out these lines. They're so bad. And as a cast, we would get together and it would make sense. Like, we're like, what is this? This doesn't make sense. And it's like, if it doesn't make sense to us as actors, it's not gonna make sense to the fucking audience. Remember this fucking motherfucker? It's like, you know what your job is? To know your lines and hit your mark. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, okay, fine. I will learn my lines and I will hit my fucking mark. But that's the thing. It's like, I'm patient. I'm a patient ass motherfucker. Like, and I know, like, fucking, like, Aya Stark. I have a list and I will not forget, you know? Mm. And so it's the, I believe creativity will always win out. Like it will win out in the end, you know? Mm. And here's the deal. I don't know where the fuck he is. He's not working right now. You know, it's like, you have to like, I feel like a lot of, not a lot. That's not true. That's a lie. There are certain men that I've worked with and one or two women where you've got to, they overcompensate with power. And I see through it in terms of, man, you must feel so fucking insecure, so fucking insecure. And I feel like it's difficult, especially as an actor, where it is about the fucking work. It is about the fucking work. Because at the end of the day, like, bumfuck producer isn't going to get reamed up the ass if it's bad. And on top of that, I respect the fucking audience that spends fucking $10.50 to $15.50 like going to fucking see a movie. you know, are spending 2 hours of their time fucking watching a movie or an hour fucking watching a show. You know, it's like time is valuable. Like it's, I have respect for what I do. And I feel like a majority of producers, quite a bit of producers don't. Mm. They don't give a fuck. Mm.
We're just having a staring contest and we're listening to each other and I'm like, what are you gonna
say? Holding space.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think the older I get, I sort of just it's like I care so much more and I also care so much less. I don't know what that means even. I want to have fun, you know?
Yeah, you want a life that turns you on.
Yeah, I want to have fun. And so I just try to, like, throw my energy in that direction and you know, be kind, you know, whatever. I also am having these experiences lately on set where I feel like I recognize everyone. And I'm having it in life, too, where I keep... And I'm it's the weirdest thing. I keep thinking I know everyone.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's... I don't know. I'm starting to think, like, is that because there's some kind of like spiritual, I'm giving myself some spiritual credit right now that I probably haven't earned, but just that, I don't know, I feel more open and people I'm like recognizing, people that I don't know.
Or you do.
Or I do somehow.
I mean, if time is an illusion, it's a stubbornly persistent one. But time is an illusion. Mm-hmm. So if everything that's ever happened is happening now, I mean, fucking deja vu for fuck's sakes. Where it's
yeah,
like shit.
That's what, yeah.
I've experienced this before and oh, yeah, I'm ba 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 ba. I mean.
Yeah.
We're all co-stars in each other's, you know, life story.
Yeah, I'm finding that more and more. I mean, like the more open I am, the more amazing people I meet, you know? And I'm sure they've always been there, but I used to be more closed off or shy or whatever it is. But even just like getting coffee in the morning, I go to the same place every day and these are like my people now, you know? Like the people that work there, I just adore them. Like it's just... Oh no, I just feel like I get to, I don't know, enjoy people more as I've gotten older and just fall in love more with just everyday encounters and moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know. I want more of that. That's cause that's that, I mean, and it's totally possible just to, you know, but I think I used to be very sort of shut down and pissy, you know?
Well, sometimes you've got to be
in
order to survive.
Yeah, yeah, and depressed or whatever else. And then you know, you're missing half the shit that's flying by. I mean, I think it's also just getting older. I feel like I'm really aware of time in the way. I mean, we were just talking about time, but, you know, or just it's flying by. It's flying by. I want to have fun.
Dude, I fucking hear you. I just said last night, I was like, I'm going to be 35. You know, I didn't think I was going to make it to 30,
yeah.
Let alone 35, you know, and like my birth mom died at 56 and my birth dad died at 60. So I'm like 35 to 45, 45 to 55. Mm. I've got like 20 some odd years left, maybe, you know, maybe more, who the fuck knows, maybe less. I could die tomorrow.
Mm.
You know, and that's something else. Like, I have no desire to die anymore, which is like a first for me. Mm. Like, tag along. Absolutely not. Tag along is trying to drink Elizabeth's water. not going to happen. So cute. But for me, I always had like, I had a foot out the door where I would think if it ever got really bad, I could just kill myself and that's fine. Like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. Like, if it ever gets really, really bad, I'm just going to call myself. like, and it'll be, and that brought me comfort that like I had a way out. Mm-hmm. And then again, like this past year, and really like within the last year, you know, I made a commitment to life and I was like, okay. And I handed in my death card. Like I fully handed in my death card. And when I make a fucking commitment, I make a commitment. I stick to it, you know? So it's like, okay, I'm here. Like we better make it fucking really fucking good. Like, listen, you motherfucker. Like I've been through enough. Like we better make it really, really fucking good. And now I'm able in more ways in every single, like each day that passes, I'm able to receive what that means to me. And I'm able to experience the expansion in that way and the pleasure and the power and the like, yeah, motherfucker, like, let's go. Like, let's go have some fun. And if I die tomorrow, it's all right. Like, that's the truth. I have no desire to die, you know, but it's, I'm grateful that I've gotten to have the experience of getting to just be and getting to love life and getting to be in pleasure, and I desire to be in continual pleasure and grow, and I've got a lot of fucking shit to do. And if it means though that I've got to go tomorrow, I'm okay with that.
I'm not.
But that's the thing, I've already died.
But I love that, hearing you say that. Yeah.
Like, girl, I'm telling you, like, I've already fucking died. There's like nothing.
Right. This is just gravy.
This is just grace. I've already died. Like there's nothing anyone can do to me. Mm. You know what I mean? Like there's, hey, like, and that's it. So like in terms of getting older, hey, tag along, you know, like my ass is becoming familiar with gravity, which is great. Like I have cellulite, but like what woman really doesn't? You know, I like with each passing day, I have like more and more gray hairs on my head. And I have like fucking arthritis in my face and in my hips and in my hands. And I don't own a home and I don't even own a car, you know, and I'm just getting started. And so like, so with that, to me, it's like age, like, what are you fucking talking about? You know, like the roles that I desire to play, I'm going to play. The individuals I desire to work with, I'm going to work with, which is why I'm like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to play? What, like, what is it that you desire? And great, let's go. Let's do it. And not in a, you know, fucking Oprah confetti way, like in a real legit, like, you down?
I'm down.
Like, you ready? Like, if you're ready, let's go. If you're not ready, like, go do what you gotta do and catch up with me later. But if you're ready, let's go.
I love it. I know. I mean, I know exactly what you mean. But I was, when I was 35, I was not in that headspace. It definitely has taken me longer.
It's like,
just to figure out what you actually want.
Yeah, what you actually want and what you actually desire. And also, like, here's the thing. You say you're 42, right? Like, I've been unfuckable since 19, supposedly.
Jesus Christ.
But here's the thing. It's like,
fuck off.
And that's the thing. It's the, you might not want to fuck me, but I actually have no desire to fuck you either, to be clear. And, you know, the only one that can really define my experience is me. Other people can try. And I know that we're in an industry like, blah, 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 whatever. And like we were talking about before, in terms of like the thing that I had gotten in Prague, where it's, I used to definitely want a fucking Oscar, like, and a Golden Globe and an Emmy and a fucking Tony and a BAFTA, you know, I wanted all of them. I want all the awards, because that then to me gets to show you that I've earned my keep and I've done the work. And this is the reward for the work I've done, of working hard and toiling away, blah, 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 blah. I've earned this. I've earned it. And now I just really don't give a fuck. You know, I don't give a fuck. I just want to really create great, incredible, amazing work. And I know that there are individuals out there that desire to do the same. And there are people that I love and respect. And so let's have some fun and get it done. You know, it's like, who says we can't? Why not? You know, like, seriously, why not?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, I think there, the more you see people doing that, the more you, I feel like the more I've seen people doing that, filmmakers, female, you know, it's like you get, you have a model for that. And, you know, it makes me think things are possible. And I mean, so I just didn't grow up with those, that mindset. So it's like, I have to see that in action. And the more I see it, the more I feel it's exactly that. Why not?
But you know what? I'm like, this feels like a good place. This feels like a good ping pong version way to end. You're from Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Small town?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you went to Juilliard?
Yeah.
Yeah? Which is one of the hardest schools to get into? Yeah?
Yeah.
But you had a desire to get, like, you had a desire.
Yeah, I wanted it.
Yeah, you wanted it, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there were individuals that were like, what are you going to do that for? Like, stay in town, marry a local, like, work at the bar, like, fucking Piggly Wiggly, whatever the fuck. I haven't been in Michigan yet. I'll go soon. But, like, whatever the fuck. You know, you can't. Watch me. And you did. Graduated Juilliard, live in New York. You're never going to work. You're never going to do that. Bubba, you do. Right? Move to L.A. Bubba, da-da.
Like, no, you're right. It is crazy. It's amazing when you put it like that.
Yeah. It's like in getting to see how every single thing, you know, in your life that led you to where you are now. Right. And it's that, like, the unseen hand, whatever you want to call it, you know, the signs, the omens that, like, we intuitively follow, whether we're aware of it or not. You know? I mean, fucking, like, girl, like, from the fucking Bronx that was found in a locked closet eating peanut butter off the wall at 2 years old. Put in foster care. For all intents and purposes, I should not be here. I shouldn't be here. You know? Like, seven-year-old girl, like, picks up a microphone and starts telling people off, like, at a dress rehearsal because everyone's complaining. What? The girl that literally, like, didn't speak for over a year that they thought was autistic? You know, that, like, what are you speaking of? You know, like, I'm, like, not rereading. I'm reading, like, I just finished reading The Alchemist. Where he talks about, like, personal legends. We all have one. It's like signs and symbols, and it's like waking up to them. And not, it's just being conscious. And I think, I mean, I don't fucking know. Like, the older that I get, and I know I still feel like a fucking baby. I feel like I really have just been born. You know? I feel like Jesus. Jesus Sesta, Like, what's the feminine of Jesus? Mary. Hey. That, like, that there's nothing that can't be done. Like, there's really not. And that if we only were able to look back at our lives and get to see, you know, like, we went right instead of left. We listened to that intuitive voice. Oh, no, what am I going to do? And, like, even if it, like, appeared to be to be shit, like, it led to something else. And it's just the difference between being awake and asleep. Like, are you awake to your good? Like, are you awake to, like, your dream and your desire?
Desire, yeah. That's the word that keeps just bubbling up.
We're having a moment.
We're having another moment.
We're having another moment. So I just want to say, I'm like planting the fucking seed. Like, you're hearing it right now. I'm planting the fucking seed because I've been wanting to work with you forever. Like, really, I've been wanting to work with you for the longest fucking time.
I can't believe that. It kind of blows me away.
Like, receive it.
I'm taking it in. It's now in me.
Like, I really have been wanting to work with you for, like, the longest time because you get it. You speak the same language as I do. And I love your work. And I just love your beingness. You have that same ability to hold space in that way and lose yourself and transform. So, yeah, we're going to work together. We're in what? July of 2017?
Yeah.
All right, within the next year.
I think it's definitely going to happen.
No, it's like July 2017. So within the next year, we will have something not like in fucking development, but like in pre-production at least. Yeah?
Yes.
All right. Dude, like, let's fucking do it. My stomach just dropped.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, there you go.
All right, can we have a follow-up date, like, where we go have a drink and, like, for
fuck
real?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. This is, like, the first of many. Okay. It's not like, bye, see you in a year. So, what's happening? Are we in pre-production? Where's our show?
Yeah.
But, like, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Dude, anytime you want to come and just listen.
I want to listen to you. Yeah. I want to interview you.
Dude. Well, start a fucking podcast, man. Start a podcast. Everybody, fucking Elizabeth Reeser. And she has, like, a new fucking show coming out. Fucking Law and Order, True Crime, Menendez, playing fucking, like, district attorney.
Yeah. Yeah. Pam Ferrara. Well, Pam is on it. She gets married over the course of the trial.
Like, fucking A. You just have the, she just works all the time. She's fucking awesome. Thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, guys, until next week, this has been another episode of Shut Up and Listen with me, Heather Matarazzo. And listen, like, really listen, like, take Racer's advice this week, like, see if you can find some pleasure, real pleasure in listening, like, find out what brings you pleasure in that way. And let me know.